Blog Talk Radio.
Introduction, because it is your man. It is Imagination Season 4 own ESPN show. Your favorite host, the host of all hosts, K-Star. And tonight we have a great, great show for you guys lined up. We have a crazy week 12 that's taking place in National Football League, in which we need to recap and also analyze for all of you guys out there. But before we go ahead and do that, before you hear my expertise, let's go on and bring another co-host here. And let's start with the man who typically does this show. Let's start with the guy who you're used to hearing, the initial, the original, the anonymous one. And before we bring him on, let me just say, before he brings it up, that his Cowboys absolutely won this weekend and that Tony Romo had a game-winning drive. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot about it, but nonetheless.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game. And I am.
Hey, welcome to the Madden Voice.
K-Star!
What's going on?
We are live. Hey, I got a story to tell you, but I'll wait for after you about the song selection you did to open up the show. I'm going to tell you a little quick story, but I'm going to let you bring back the train on first.
All right, sounds good. And next, we have the Chicago Bears fan, who last week, not only did we find out is he Dr. Tran, he's also the doctor of love, as it turns out. And he's a man. He may probably have a few things to say because there's no defense being played in Chicago, so you're probably not going to hear this. But nonetheless, we bring him on anyway. Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Man, I don't even know if that was an intro or just cruel and unusual punishment.
Oh my
I'm trying
God.
To I'm trying to process what that is, but what's up, K-Star and T?
What's going on?
Wow, K-Star's starting out. You know, you can tell when the Steelers are starting to make a little move. There's a whole different guy on the show now. I asked K-Star, would you like to host tonight? Sure, absolutely. You know, just Steelers are back in the playoff hunt, and, you know, they starting to look a little bit more like the team. K-Star knows and loves and playing a little D, and Ben's looking better. And all of a sudden now, K-Star got a little pep in his step. He's a completely different person. Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah,
but let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a quick story before K-Star takes over. But so K-Star played the opening segment is a theme is the theme to the song "Classic," which is a collaboration. DJ Premier, Kanye West, Paris One, Rakim, and Nas, and it was a song. It's a few years old, and my cousin's a DJ. And my cousin Everett, shout out to my cousin Everett, very good DJ. And I was over at his house one day, and he was playing. I had never heard the song. I'm like, wow, where did this come from? He goes, oh, yeah, you know. So I got it, and I liked it. So about a year ago, I was thinking, or maybe 2 years ago, I don't know, I wanted to do a new opening segment to the Madden Voice. And my good friend LG McKenzie from Major Motion, shout out to MajorMotionBand.com, check them out, had offered to work with me. And I was going to do like write a rap, and then I was going to actually do the rap to Classic, and then LG was going to kind of arrange it for me. And then LG said, well, if you want, we just come up with our own original beat. You ain't got to steal someone else's. And so that's the route we were going. And then it didn't happen. It's not his fault. It's really my fault because kind of life got in the way. But that's why that is even on there in the first place. That actually was going to be music for our opening segment at one point. So it's funny that you picked that to play tonight.
That is awesome. So, see, you're about to lay down. You were going to lay down some rest. Is that what you were saying?
Oh yeah, man. I can flow, bro. You don't know nothing about that. Oh yeah, that's a whole other side of me that you don't really know anything about. But oh yeah. Oh yeah.
We might have to have a TMV rap battle one night. That might have to happen.
You don't want to do that, man. Yeah, K-Star. You may wanna. You don't want to do that, man. I like you, and you may not want to do that, man. I'm just.
I mean, probably right.
Let's move on. Let's talk some football.
Absolutely, and let's start with a team in which the TMV's number one team from last week, and the game they played down in Foxborough in New England. Let's start with the Tom Brady Peyton Manning 14 duel, where the Patriots end up winning the game 34-31 and down 24-0. Rather quickly in this game, for all those who, for whatever reason, didn't catch this game, as I'm sure all of you did. You know, the Patriots started the game off like a fluke Madden game, like the worst kind of nightmare type of game being played, where your first three drives, you're just fumbling, and you're fumbling for touchdowns, like you don't get a chance to establish yourself. And here come, you know, the Patriots in the second half, down 24-0, particularly on the way back in this game. Brady and that offense, you know, scoring five drives, ridiculous. And then Broncos had it tied up 31-31. But, you know, the biggest takeaway for me in this game watching it is, A, how old Peyton Manning looks in those type of elements out there. His face looking a little bit resembling a lot like Tom Coughlin's in that New York weather. And just how, like, resilient the Patriots, Brady, Belichick, Patriots era still is to this very day. I mean, the Patriots, or the Broncos, rather, sorry, you know, a big, running the ball with no Sean Moreno, but over 200 yards, and they still can't finish off the New England Patriots at New England. Big loss for them. And Steve, what was your biggest takeaway from this game? What happened in your assessment? How did Denver somehow choke away a 24-0 lead at New England like that?
You know, what you saw in this game, quite frankly, is what I've been saying all year. When I'm looking at a game, and I do believe I called that New England would win this game weeks ago, and what I'm telling everybody, and I will stick by this until proven wrong, at the end of the day, I look at the quarterback and I look at the coach. Now, before this game, I think we all could have said quarterbacks were even. I think we could still say, in 9 out of 10 games, quarterbacks are even. The elements certainly didn't make the quarterback play even. But I think we can agree that for most of these guys, these games, these quarterbacks are going to be even. But, you know, Belichick is a genius. Belichick is, I mean, you know, now there were some turnovers involved in the first half. But what Belichick did on defense to Denver in the second half, and we know that's Belichick's defense, was just incredible, you know, holding them to 7 points in the second half. And you know, I don't know how you guys felt watching the game, but, you know, you go in at halftime 24-0. And, you know, it was one of those games where you didn't change the channel. It was one of those games where you just didn't feel like the game was over. You know, anyone who did doesn't know these two teams and doesn't know what Tom Brady is capable of. So, you know, frankly, what I learned is Belichick is still a genius. And Tom Brady's still a man. I know me on more than one occasion, I have prematurely put the nail in Tom Brady's coffin and started to say that maybe he's slipping a little bit. Well, I'm wrong. He's as good as he's ever been. And it's as simple as that. And the only other thing is, I think, K-Star, you touched on it, is, you know, there's a Super Bowl that's going to be played in New York. You know, we're getting into November, December weather now, and Peyton Manning was very mortal, very human in bad weather, and that's not going to bode well for Denver down the stretch.
No. Now, Train, what were your thoughts on this game? What was your biggest takeaway from it?
And I really just tipped my hat off to the Patriots. Denver came out and started fast like they normally do when they look like they were going to run away with this thing. But I just, at the end of the day, I just really tipped my hat to the Patriots. I mean, that is truly a dynasty within the past, in this past couple of decades. They are truly a dynasty, and as long as there's time on that clock, they're not done. And, I mean, with Belichick and Tom Brady, it's you almost want to put them in the NFC. You almost want to put them into the Super Bowl simply because they have a very strong resilience in games. And, you know, if they can beat what was considered the best in the AFC at this point, man, they're going to be tough to deal with. They just have a very strong resilience to be able to come back in a game like that.
Hey, they really do. I got to agree with you there, T. Like, when you're watching this game, when they're down 24-0, like, I certainly didn't change the channel because why would you? I mean, I think Chris Collinsworth or Al Michaels, one of the two, had even said, like, hey, we saw this last year with the San Francisco-New England game where New England's being absolutely destroyed at halftime, and they come back and make a game of it. And you knew that the Brady-Manning, you know, bowl wouldn't just kind of end, you know, with a fizzle. And it certainly didn't. I mean, Brady and the Patriots coming back to tie the game, then take the lead. And for it to go into overtime, I got to ask you guys this. For it to go into overtime and for Belichick to defer and take the ball off of Peyton Manning, what was your reaction to that, Train? Like, when you first saw that, like, what was your just – your feeling, like your initial gut instinct to seeing like Belichick kick off the Peyton Manning overtime like that, like here you go, beat us.
Unfortunately for me, I didn't get a chance to see the game live. I only saw replay. I only saw replays of the second half. But for him, but just hearing that he did that, that dude got some serious guts. He seriously had some faith. He seriously had some faith in his defense to hold them off, knowing that he's going to probably have a chance to score. That's I'm just going to call it crazy.
Yeah, I
applaud them for having resilience, but that there is still crazy because that's still Peyton Manning.
It's Peyton Manning into the wind, number one. And that's the difference between a Hall of Fame quarterback and Hall of Fame coach and a good coach. The Hall of Fame coach did his homework. And he said, this guy, would Peyton Manning end up with 150 yards passing? You know, it wasn't Peyton Manning 28 for 38, 390 yards and 4 touchdowns. You know, if he had had that kind of day and then he made that call, okay, something wrong with you. This is Peyton Manning who struggled most of the day. And the weather reduced his potency. Now, I get it. You're right, Train. It's still Peyton Manning. But I think Belichick, smart enough to know he's not going to be able to do it in this weather. It's not going to happen. I want the wind at my back. You know, with the way these winds are howling out here and it's cold weather, I think he just – would I have done that? Oh, of course not. But that's why I'm not a Hall of Fame head coach. That's a Hall of Famer making that decision right there. And willing – you know, you guys have heard me say this before, you know, and excuse me if there's anybody, you know, anybody gets offended, but that's a take your nuts and put it on the table and give somebody a hammer decision. That's what that is. And he's willing to go ahead and meet the press and say, okay, I made the decision, right? He's done this before, right? Fourth down, and we're going to go for it, and you know, they don't get it, and they lose the game. I mean, this is who he is, and he's willing to live or die by his decision. That's what he's willing to do, and I gotta respect that completely.
I couldn't imagine. Like, I can only imagine the reaction to if Peyton, you know, goes down the field and scores a touchdown. Like, just the criticism that would have been just, you know, heaped upon Belichick and the questions that they answer all week, all season long, really, about that decision. Like, that would have been insane. But that's Bill Belichick. I got to agree. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He assessed the situation. Peyton Manning, that game, he was 19 of 36, 150 yards. And like I said earlier, just looks old. And it's weird because Peyton Manning's been terrific all season long, but the one thing about Peyton at this age is it's pretty noticeable, pretty visible that his arm strength has dipped down a little bit. And I feel like the Broncos, you know, they ran the ball so much, not only because, A, they could, but because they didn't trust Peyton throwing and Peyton's velocity on those throws and that type of wind. And so I got to applaud Bill Belichick for a great decision. Like, again, he kicks, and Manning had to throw into the wind. And, again, you know, kind of right then and there that he's not kind of the Peyton Manning expected to be in that you know, weather, climate, and everything. So, perfect game. And, you know, when this was going on, just the historical aspects of the game, they played 14 times, Manning and Brady have. And I believe now the count is 10-4 Brady over Manning in those head-to-head matchups. Now, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, you know, by far and away, the greatest quarterback of all time, and definitely of this era, I think, without question. But we got to sort this out. We're not going to talk about this era. I want everyone out there to put. We need our own top five PMV quarterbacks of all time, and we need to establish this now, because you have the pundits who have their opinions on all that. But let's be honest here. They factor in the things in which, you know, they sometimes overanalyze the situation. They oftentimes get lost because they have biases themselves. So, guys, I want to ask, and I want to start with Trent here. Trent, I want to put you on the spot. Top five quarterbacks of all time. Now, luckily, you had no bias here, because clearly no Bears will even sniff this discussion. So, because of that, we'll start here with you. Who do you have as your top five quarterbacks of all time?
You see, I got McMahon, Jay Cutler, Mike Tomczak, Eric Kramer, and Miller.
That's funny. That's pretty good.
That was good. Honestly, man, I kind of actually had to look this up because, you know, even though I know about some of the quarterbacks in the past that are retired now and don't play anymore, I didn't really pay attention to football as much as I do now. So I kind of had to look up to see what people were calling their top five quarterbacks. Some I know of, but just to, like, sit down and just truly just watch them play, I didn't really do that. So
right,
really not in any order. You know, I really wasn't sure. How do you really pick your top five? Is it just based on just their performance? Is it based on how many Super Bowls they won?
That's up to your criteria.
Even with personal criteria, it's really not that easy to just choose a top five. There were about a good, you know, almost 10 that were like really good. They were either good during the regular season or
You know, every sport we always have these conversations, right? Top five, right? Every sport, basketball, top five. You know, we always have this. This is not unusual. So based on you, this is where you get to do you. This isn't like.
Well, that's what I'm telling you, because I didn't watch football as prevalent as I do now. I have a five, but because I didn't watch it, it's not, you know, it's a little tough to choose. So that's why I say mine's are really not in any order. Automatically my five, because I've got a chance to see these two.
Hold on. What do you mean they're not in any order? The whole point is to go to who would be your number one of all time.
I'm dumb.
The
outside chance that Tebow finds some.
Yeah, I don't know if Tebow made yours, but listen, try and put it out there.
Yeah, put it out there. But you got to at least give us a number one. You can save the one you think is the all-time best for last, and then the other four kind of don't matter their order, but at least give us your all-time. I think this is the best quarterback of all time, and save him for last.
See, Dan Marino, Joe Montana, I'm going to put Tom Brady. I'm going to say Elway. I would say probably my top quarterback would have to be Peyton.
So you have Peyton Manning as your number one quarterback of all time.
You asked me to put a number one.
That's fine. I was just making sure. For the listeners out there, you had Peyton Manning as your number one quarterback, correct?
He's like the one that I've watched the most, more than any one of them.
Okay. I disagree. He made my top five. Let me give you guys my top five real quick. And I have it listed, and I have no shame in my list. I'm not going to waffle around. And my criteria was simple. Train a little bit, my thing was, listen, I'm a 27-year-old man. I've been seeing a lot of what's happened in the past, but I am definitely a historian of the game. I've been to the Hall of Fame a few times. I know my stuff. But, Tom Brady for me is the number one quarterback, simply because from what I've seen with the eyeball test, through everything he's accomplished, me, he's number one. I'm going to put that out there right now. I have number five, Terry Bradshaw, number four, and Terry Bradshaw. Let me tell you something. People want to knock on him for statistics, but this guy is 4-0 in Super Bowls. He was the reason why Lynch won and John Starrs with the deep threats that were. He was able to make those beautiful throws that beat Dallas, that beat Minnesota, that beat all those teams in the Super Bowl era. He was a great quarterback. And, again, different era. That's when the defense was real. That's when people were holding their those receivers at the line, mugging them, clotheslining, all that stuff. Number four, I have Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is horrific. Again, I've seen so much of him. I lived in Indianapolis out here. I've seen so much. Four MVPs, you get number four, Peyton Manning. Number three, I have Mr. John Elway. No, we don't know John Elway's history. Mr. Captain Comeback, the guy who won two Super Bowls in a row to retire with Swan Song. Number two, I have Joe Montana, which, I mean, again, another guy who just absolutely swept it when he was in Super Bowls. A classic guy who started West Coast offense with Bill Walsh and was absolutely terrific and, again, couldn't be beat. His comeback against the Bengals was just super impressive, like that last drive he had. But, again, for me, I had Tom Brady number one simply because, A, this is my era. B, the guy had, has three Super Bowl rings. He's been to five Super Bowls. I mean, he's won two MVPs. He currently holds the NFL record for most touchdown passes in a season. 18-1 season. Yes, he lost the Super Bowl. Let's not act like that season wasn't magical for the Patriots. And just a guy who I feel is the best quarterback of his era over Peyton Manning, because let's face it, 10-4 all time against Peyton Manning. You know, he's been a stepping stone into winning so many of these a few of these Super Bowls. So for me, it's Brady number one. I'm really interested in hearing your list. I'm sure it's probably different than ours. So let's hear yours. You can go ahead and save your number one quarterback for last. Give us some suspense here. Who's your top five?
Yeah, well, and I'm asking everyone to get your pen and paper down, because now you're going to hear the true list. I have to educate my co-host, which I tend to have to do from time to time. But it's okay, being the elder statesman of the group. That's the role that you take, John Elway, Brett Favre, I didn't hear his name mentioned, Johnny Unitas, they're all close, but they didn't make my top five. But they're there, if someone said, if you mention those three names to me in your top five and they weren't in mine, I'd say, okay, these were all exceptionally great quarterbacks, all won either Super Bowls or championships, MVPs, and also had stats to back it. Not that stats is necessarily the driving force, but if that's your criteria, it's okay. But for me, number five is Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah.
I agree with what Star said. The only thing K-Star missed out was Bradshaw called his own plays in an era where calling your own plays was quickly diminishing. And, you know, when you watch NFL games today, you see the Sean Payton and the McCarthy's and these guys with their play sheets over their mouth, and they're radioing in the plays to their quarterbacks. Well, Bradshaw called his own plays. And, you know, I watched all those games. I watched the games in the 70s being a Cowboys fan, and I saw what Bradshaw was able to manufacture. And he was also – they talk about Elway being tough. Yeah, well, long before Elway was maybe not long before, but reasonably before Elway was Terry Bradshaw. He was to me, the toughest quarterback I ever saw. This guy took a whooping in game and just got up. I mean, I had so much respect for him as a guy who beat us twice in the Super Bowl that I leaving him off my list would just be hypocritical. So Bradshaw at number five for me. At number four is Peyton Manning. You know, I think K-Star made up a great point, 10-4 or 4-10 against Tom Brady. There were a number of years that Peyton Manning made the playoffs and didn't win. He certainly has stats, great stats. But, you know, he's in the top five. He's great. But, you know, watching that game against Tom Brady, you got to see the difference between, you know, a potential all-time great quarterback and a Hall of Fame quarterback. But just you know, he just hasn't won enough for me. He just hasn't won enough for me. And I will tell you guys,
record in the playoffs, too.
Yeah, exactly. He just hasn't won enough.
Right.
And I'll tell you, a guy who won a lot of games, winning as quarterback in the 90s, Troy Aikman, is not on my list. But Roger Staubach is. Because Roger Staubach went to five Super Bowls, won two, made the playoffs every year he was a starter, won the division seven times, won the conference five, and before Peyton Manning, before Tom Brady, before all these complex offenses that we see these guys running, with Roger Staubach running the most complicated offense in the NFL at the time, with the shifting and the moving and the audibling at the line. That was all Roger Staubach 20 years before these guys, 30 years before these guys. And you had to watch and appreciate. And he had 34 fourth quarter comebacks. Yes, I know that number off the top of my head. You know, just the things that Roger did is so underappreciated today. And probably because, unfortunately, he played in two Super Bowls against Terry Bradshaw, and the Steelers just had better teams. That's all it was, too. I mean, there was one that, you know, the Cowboys should have won. Jackie Smith drops a touchdown pass, and, you know, life goes on.
Yep.
But, you know, but nevertheless, it is what it is. So you're going up against a juggernaut team, and, you know, they won the four Super Bowls. And the Cowboys, you know, went to five but could only pull out two victories. But Staubach to me was just, I mean, you had to watch him to truly understand how good he really was. And I would implore anybody to go back and check out the tape. Number two is Tom Brady. Tom Brady is just, I mean, unfortunately for Tom Brady, there was another guy named Joe Montana that came along before Tom Brady. Or Tom Brady would be the best ever. But, you know, here's a guy who can't beat Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl. I mean, Eli Manning in the Super Bowl. You know, not once, but twice. Here's a guy who is, you know, I will tell you, if it's Joe Montana going into to go 19-0, Montana goes 19-0. He don't lose that game. That's the difference between Joe Montana and Peyton Manning. Another one like Bradshaw, 4-0 in the Super Bowl. You know, just, you know, and again, I watch these guys, you know, so I can appreciate you guys not having Montana as your number one because you didn't watch him. So you don't have the same appreciation I had watching Joe Montana. But it will take a lot for me to say that he's not the greatest of all time. Now, could Brady eclipse him? Maybe. Peyton can't. Peyton just doesn't have enough left in his career to me to do it. Brady's the only one right now who could possibly eclipse him, depending on what happens in the next two or three seasons. It is possible that Tom Brady, I come back and say, okay, you know, Brady, I have to put him ahead of Joe Montana. But right now it's Joe Montana. Now, the reason this topic is here is because I want people to appreciate the fact that with all the great quarterback play we have now, I mean, there's a guy we didn't even mention who certainly might make my top 10, and that's Drew Brees. And he's playing now. You know, so we're watching three, in my opinion, of the top 10 greatest quarterbacks to play the game. And appreciate that, appreciate these matchups, appreciate these games, because you just don't get that in football often enough to really enjoy it. So,
you know, our list actually were pretty similar to these. The only difference we had was at three I had Elway, you had Staubach, and that we had number one and two flips. And mainly we had number one and two flips because I witnessed Brady, you were able to witness Montana, so kind of different perspective there. But everything I've seen about Montana, it's hard not to put him number one. The only reason why I didn't was because I didn't really actually see him play personally. But, yeah, it's hard to argue. 4-0 in Super Bowls. You know, what do you have, three Super Bowl MVPs, or was it all four? I thought Jerry Rice might have taken one of those.
Jerry Rice took one, but I don't know if Jerry Rice did it with Montana or with Steve Young.
Oh, with Steve Young, right.
So he might have, but you're right. He had at least three. And unlike you, I'm not going to even knock Train for having Peyton Manning as his best ever, because Peyton Manning still in 16 games is money. Still in the regular season, you're hard pressed to find a quarterback better than him in 16 games. So I can't even knock Train. And of course, we put him on the spot because he really didn't even really get time to digest it. But I'm just saying, Train, I can understand anyone saying Peyton Manning is the best ever because of what he's done in the regular season, and simply because at the pace, you know, he very likely can eclipse, if he stays healthy, a lot of Brett Favre's records. So, I mean, Peyton Manning is certainly, I can't knock that as a number one pick. I'm using different criteria, but
yeah.
I get that.
I would say Peyton's definitely the best regular season quarterback of all time. To me, that's interesting because I've seen him take personally bad teams. Like, he's the only quarterback to me, Peyton is, maybe in NFL history, where year after year after year, he could take an average to below average team and still manage to win the division and make them playoff relevant. You know, like, he's just a kind of a guy. Like, we put really a high expectation on the quarterbacks. Like, for instance, we give Romo a tough deal for not making the playoffs. But let's really think about it. I mean, how often do great – I mean, it's just tough. Like, to have one player, a quarterback, and it's the most important player in the team, obviously, but – if you have average to minimal talent, it is tough. It is tough for that guy to lead the whole team basically by himself to the playoffs. And for Peyton to do it year in, year out, and there were some good Indianapolis teams, but there were some bad ones, too, that he also played in the playoffs. And to me, Peyton is definitely the best regular season quarterback of all time. But, I mean, again, that kind of took the playoffs into account. Had versus Brady, other things as well. But, yeah, no, Peyton Manning is absolutely, I mean, four MVPs, he's some tough. And look how good he's playing even at 38. Or 37, whatever he is, like probably one another MVP, and I'll give him five, and that's insane.
All right, that was good though. I think that was a good conversation. That was good. I like that. And I think weekly, you know, we might throw something in a little something different, you know, just to get the fans' minds thinking a little bit. And also, I think part of what we're here to do is also educate a little bit too. You know, we all see things differently and have different perspectives, and I think it's helpful to give that to the fans out there. So it's good stuff.
And by the way, as I bring up Tony Romo, let's continue with that. As the Cowboys and Chiefs Cowboys pulled off the Giants to 24-21 in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And his boy, Tony Romo, leads another fourth quarter comeback, and well, this statistic flown in to me shows that he has 11 fourth quarter comebacks in the last 3 years, and that apparently is leading the NFL. Now,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So before we get into just, you know, the Tony Romo dialogue of it alone, let's actually just watch the game itself. See. How nervous were you when the Giants were tied the game up 21-21 off that two-point conversion with 4 minutes 45 seconds left? Were you nervous, or were you like, okay, you know what, despite what everyone else says, Tony Romo can do this? What were your thoughts on the Giants, I'm sorry, on the Cowboys win over the Giants at New York? How big was that for you guys?
Well, first of all, I mean, let's say that this was a huge win for the Cowboys. To go 6-5 Eagles at 6-5, but more importantly than that, 4-0 in the division, where the Eagles are currently 3-2 in the division. And everyone is saying the season is going to come down to the last game, but my hopes are that it really doesn't, not because I don't think Dallas can win that last game, because it is in Dallas, but when you're 4-0, I mean, if they can beat the Redskins and go to 5-0, they've already got the best division record. And so, you know, depending on how the next few games play out, this game was huge. If you lose this game, you know, but now the Giants have new life. You know, you're tied with the Giants at 5-6. You're both a game behind. You're 3-1 in division now instead of 4-0. And you've lost two in a row, and then you got to turn around and find some fire in you to play on Thanksgiving Day against Oakland. I mean, a loss here is potentially season-ending, and I don't mean record-wise. I just mean spirit, motivation-wise. It could really hurt you. And so it was a huge win on that level. Secondly, you know, there was a lot of talk. I mean, we talked about it last Tuesday, and you guys heard my T-bonnets, but then even after last Tuesday's show, there was a lot of talk coming out of New York. And I'm so glad Orlando Scandrick, as a matter of fact, if I had thought about it, I would have gotten his clip and put it on for you guys to hear. But Orlando Scandrick said it. I have never heard a 4-16 talk so much. You know, I really think they talked themselves into their mouths, you know, writing a check that their butts couldn't sign. You know, they put too much pressure on themselves. They started out horribly. They made a nice little comeback and made it interesting. But I wasn't worried. I got a little, you know, I won't say I wasn't worried. Maybe that's not it. I had faith in my team. I didn't like the fact that the Cowboys came back and tied the score like that. I didn't like that at all. But I had faith that my team would come back and put points on. I did not think that they would run the clock out 4.5 minutes to go. I did not think that Dallas had it in them in that weather, which was the same as New England just a couple of hours earlier. I did not think that they had it in them to run the clock out and to get the balls where they kick a game-winning field goal and either you go into overtime or you win. I mean, that was – I think it's not a score, and then the defense would have to stop. And my worry wasn't about Romo. It was about the defense. You know, the Giants had been running the ball very well, and, you know, I really didn't feel like the defense had anything left. They had nothing left in their tank, and if they had to go back out for another stop, I didn't think they were going to do it. So I think all the way around, I'm very impressed with what I saw from the Cowboys, you know, and I'm very encouraged about Thanksgiving being 2 days away and a couple of injuries that we got to keep our eye on. But, you know, I'm not scared of the Raiders, so I'm liking the possibility of being 7-5 going into December.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big win, definitely. I mean, they definitely got close. It definitely was a contentious, really good NFC East game. At first, I was a little worried because I thought the Cowboys were going to run away with it, but the Giants put together a pretty good comeback, but the Cowboys were able to hold them off regardless, and that was definitely a big win. Train, what was your take on the Cowboys-Giants NFC East showdown?
The Cowboys are doing exactly what I expect them to do. Beat everyone in the division and win a division. I've been saying it all season. I'm not going to stop saying it. It's their division to lose. So they want to give it away. Be my guest, but I don't see it happening. How about them Cowboys, T? Keep it up.
Woo!
Till next Monday. Then you're going to have a problem.
Well, y'all got bigger problems than us coming up. Let's play our games this week, and then we can banter about our head-to-head next week. Can I get a can you dig it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let me cook that up for you right here.
Can you dig it?
Listen, every team in that division has its woes, but I truly believe from the beginning of the season, the Dallas Cowboys was the most talented and the most prepared to take that division. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, the Eagles are the only competition, that's for sure, as it stands right now. And with that being said, let's keep it NFC East related because the Eagles have named, not a surprise to me, as I expected this and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, Nick Foles as their starting quarterback for the rest of the season. Apparently, Kelly here said that last week during the bye week, Vic was healthy enough to return. However, didn't feel the need to make the announcement to the media since they had an off week. But Nick Foles officially, he started for the Eagles the rest of the way. He's definitely had a fine season, minus that game against your very own Cowboys team. Now that that's official, I mean, what, is that a good move for Philly? Was it a bad move? You think Vic should still be the guy? Or, I mean, are you, what are your thoughts on Nick Foles being the guy?
No,
for the rest of the way?
No, and don't gloss over the fact that what I said was correct. When he's ready to name him the starter, he will name him the starter. And all that.
Oh, you were not correct.
Oh, no, I was not correct. Named him
not
the
starter.
Now he's the starter. It's as simple as that. And notice how it happened, K-Star. Notice how it happened. After Vic came out in the press and said, Foles should be the starter. After Vic came out and said, yeah, it's his team, he's been winning, he should be the starter. Oh, funny now, told you was that it wasn't a done deal yet. It is now a done deal. It is now a done deal. Vic is number two, Foles is number one. Okay? So all that yin-yang about he's playing games and all of that, if he was playing games, why didn't he keep playing games then?
Well, because as Kelly said here, he postponed making any decision until Vic was healthy, and now that he did that, he was able to make that announcement. That's what he had said.
Right.
Good word. What I pretty...
He postponed making any decision until Vic was healthy. You said he knew all along.
I know.
I said, no, he didn't.
He postponed making it official.
Oh, now you're changing on me. Okay, Casey.
No, I'm not changing it. He said himself, during the bye week, he made a decision once Vic was healthy, informed him of the decision.
Okay. So again, what I said to you was when he said Foles was the starter and he wasn't sure until he named Foles the starter for that game, it was for that game only. And you said, oh, he already knows what he's going to do, and he's just playing with the media, and he's like, I said, no, he's not. No, he's not, because he needs to see more from Foles. As simple as that. So, now, as far as what this means, I mean, you know, the Eagles are playing some good football in the fall, but let's remember that Dallas shut down Nick Foles completely. Okay, let's remember that they beat him 17-3 in Philly, and Nick Foles was the starter most of that game until he got knocked out and Barkley came in. And Barkley actually moved the ball better than Foles did. So I'm not saying that it's going to be that way in Dallas, but what I'm saying is, we obviously did something right because we held them, we shut them down. So I'm not worried about Philly week 17 now simply because we've got four other games to play before that. You know, and four other games to play before that. Right now, I that's good for them. It's good for the Philly fans. And good for the team because Foles has been playing well. So good luck to them. And we'll see them at week 17 in AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. And maybe that game will be for the division, and maybe it won't. But we'll worry about that then. I'm in the meantime, you know, I'm worried about Oakland on Thursday. Really, that's the team that we're faced with. And, you know, Philly's got Arizona. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And Arizona's playing some doggone good football. So, you know, before Philly – about playing Dallas in week 17 for the division, they've got some games they got to win. We've still got to play the Bears. We've still got to play the Packers. So, you know, we'll get to Philly. We'll get to Philly in week 17, but good for them. I think it was the right move, though. I think Foles is the right guy for the team right now.
I agree. If anything, I mean, Vic was on a one-year contract, so we kind of saw what he could provide, which is, you know, a good player, but an inconsistent one. Foles, a young guy, they could kind of see if he's the future of the team or not. And, I mean, with him playing so well as it is anyway in that system, you might as well keep that hot hand, you know, in the game. Train, do you have anything on the Foles big thing, or were you not surprised at all to you either?
Eventually, I mean, we had this conversation weeks ago. Eventually, he had to name a starter. There was a reason why he didn't name him then. He went ahead to name him now. I think it makes with how well it wasn't necessarily guaranteed to be the future of the Eagles, but he was the best man at the time. And, you know, those that Foles has delivered, no matter who they play, the offense is clicking. So you go with them.
Yeah. Also help.
I'm still not sold on Foles, because I'm not sold on any quarterback that doesn't play for a full year. Got to see you for a full year. Got to see all 16 games.
You can argue that, especially when you've seen guys like Colin Kaepernick and RG3 this year and some other people who kind of regressed.
Yeah.
I mean, but let's keep it within the NFC train. The NFC North. Let's go to you.
Before we do.
Yeah,
before
yeah.
Train,
go ahead, Steve.
Let's be a little easy on Kaepernick. I mean, 7-4. You know, he threw 3 touchdowns last night. You know, this whole thing. And, and I just heard this today. He's one of only a couple of quarterbacks that have had 4 games this year at 85 QBR or better. I mean, I think the regression on Kaepernick is a little rough.
He's also been horrible.
He's had a couple. Yes, he has. But I wouldn't put him in the same category as RG3. Okay, that's not even close. Okay, that's not even close. So anyway,
yeah, I mean a little bit better than RG3. They've both been disappointing. Their
second. I wouldn't say necessarily just categorizing them. I'd just say give them a full season. Let me see what they do once teams have tape on them. Once teams understand how they play, then truly, once you're able to play after that, then you show what you made of.
Well, I just think he's 7-4. I mean, you know, he's 7-4. I mean,
7-4 is not 16 for me. It's 11.
No, but I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, you know, for people to have already said that, you know, I just think, is he playing to the same level he played last year? No. But is he playing RG3 level? RG3 is horrible. He's just horrible. So, I mean, so is Andrew Luck regressed? I mean, I know we're going to talk about the Colts look like world beaters earlier in the season. Now look at him. So are we saying Andrew Luck is regressing? Because they're 7-4 too. You know? So, I mean, I think, you know, Kaepernick doesn't have Crabtree. He doesn't have Moss. You know,
Crabtree is a huge loss for Kaepernick, and people need to realize that.
Absolutely. You know,
that
so
hurt.
I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, when you make one read and then.
He just got Manningham back. You know, so I mean, let us. And he's 7-4. I mean, none of our teams are 7-4. You know, I'm leading my division and I'm not 7-4. We would all love to be 7-4. So But anyway,
we were going to the NFC North. We're going to train here. Who? Chicago Bears did not have a good game over at St. Louis. Train. First of all, I want to ask you, what happened, as the Bears lost 42-21 to the Rams? First of all, before I even let's be clear here, the Rams not just known for having a potent offense, but somehow hanging 42 on the one spotted Chicago Bears defense. Frank, what's going on with the Bears? How did this happen at St. Louis?
Man, without going too much into our own segment, it's simply put a lack of defense. Wasn't it the same as it was last season? And even when Lovie Smith was our head coach, even when we suffered injuries, the defense was hard. It was not easy to drop 40. Very seldom we have. But it's not so much as the point as it is that every single running back we face, definitely that we've faced in the past 6 or 7 weeks, have been able to eclipse 100 yards.
The Rams average 8.9 yards per carry. 8.9 yards per carry, the Rams average on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
29 attempts. That's ridiculous.
It's, Chicago is now given up 5.6 yards per carry in the past few weeks. And we're supposed to stop Adrian Peterson? Oh, man, it's going to be a long day Sunday. But really, it just boils down to the defense is nowhere near the same. Mark Trestman was, you know, great coach to pick up. He fixed the offense. He did exactly what they wanted him to do when he came in. But with the defense not performing, you have to you question whether is it truly just the injuries or was it really Lovie Smith? Definitely think it was Lovie Smith.
I mean, you know, the one thing me and I think T backed me up on this during the offseason, which we talked about on the show, was that, you know, Mark Trestman, he may bring some offense. He certainly has brought a lot of offense to Chicago. However, the defense now has gone to the wayside. And my stance for a while now was Lovie, I thought, had a good plan in place. However, needed to hire a competent offensive coordinator. And as GM, the GM of the Bears, needed to get some offensive linemen around Jay Cutler, which they ended up doing successfully. And it's possible that Lovie was part of the reasons why they didn't hire competent offensive coordinators. But for that defense to just fall apart, the team is this bad. Like, it's rough right now. But the one good thing is Detroit keeps finding a way to lose, losing to Tampa. And the NFC North as a whole. Yeah, the NFC North as a whole. No one really wants this division. I mean, right now Detroit's winning. They're technically first because they swept you guys. 6-5.
Let me tell you, Aaron Rodgers is sitting at home right now just shaking his head at both Chicago and Detroit like these fools.
He really is.
If only I was playing.
Yeah.
It just, no, neither one of them want it.
No.
Neither one of them.
The North right now is playing hot potato. It's ridiculous. Even Minnesota and Green Bay, they couldn't figure it out themselves. They just ended up tying the game. Like, you know what? You don't want to – you take it. I don't know. We're going to tie this game because I don't want to win. You don't want to win. It's the NFC North thing, apparently.
And Detroit is actually the healthiest team in the division. But they don't – like T say, never been sold on them. They don't close games. And, you know, Stephen A. loved to use accident waiting to happen for the Dallas Cowboys. I would definitely like using it for the Detroit Lions because as long as Schwartz is their head coach, they won't be anything better than an average team.
Thank you. That's what I've been saying.
Because he has no control over his players. There's no discipline, and there's just no direction.
Well, the ball definitely was bounced in plenty of directions. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw any of that Bucks-Lions game, but they had some of the poor Matthew Stafford. He had some of the craziest non-interceptions that technically were an interception because happened to bounce ridiculous couple ways to the other team. Yeah, twice. There was an instance on the sideline where I think he hits his wide receiver, Chris Duro. And he's dragging his feet out of bounds. Someone like pops the ball out, basically from the sideline. Ball man just stay in play, bounces.
Oh, yeah, he threw it back in bounds and he was going out.
Yeah, like that's crazy. And then in the final drive, he's Megatron wall people right in the chest and it bounces off his hands into the Tampa Bay defenders. Like, it's just crazy game in Detroit. But, I mean, hey. It is what it is. Detroit finds ways to lose quite often, like whatever, however
it
may happen.
And even though Matthew Stafford puts up gaudy numbers, I never really am sold on him at quarterback simply because I know why he puts up those numbers. And for some reason, every team that plays Detroit is, you know.
You know,
take dude out.
I know Train is going to talk Chicago sports, but I want to say one thing about the Bears. Let us not forget that Charles Tillman's out. Let us not forget that your heart and soul retired, Urlacher. And, you know, as the Ravens have learned, you know, when you lose players of that caliber from a playmaking and a leadership standpoint, it's just not easy to replace. You know, Hall of Fame level middle linebackers, and we can all agree that Urlacher is going to the Hall of Fame. They just don't grow on trees. They just, you know, when you talk about Dallas and our problems, well, let me remind you that Sean Lee is out. And I'm not saying that he's Urlacher, I'm not saying he's Hall of Fame, but he's a very good, you know, it's hard to find top level middle linebackers that are also quarterback in your defense. They're not just playing a position, but they're also your quarterback and leading your defense.
And it's not easy to find that person that you can rely on. And, you know, that's to me, and I don't watch the Bears and know the Bears even closely like Train does, but I know football. And, you know, the fact that the Bears are still in contention with their, you know, defensive coordinator, pretty much Lovie Smith, gone, you know, because he was, you know, he was his defense. And Tillman out for the year, and Urlacher gone. I don't even know who else you guys have missing, but I know those two guys are critical to your defense. So, I mean, you know, there's reasons why.
Two of the top three defensive tackles. Gaping hole in the middle.
No, that's gaping.
But, T, you bring up a very solid point. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I will talk about Chicago sports, but every time I sit and watch that defense, I just sit here and I wonder, you know, how much different we would be if we were just able to retain Urlacher for at least two more years. That's all I wanted. It was just to give us a chance with two more years with this guy. And I don't know what happened in their contract negotiations and what happened with the breakdown, but, you know, it seemed like it did not end properly. If he wasn't going to return this season, it just seemed like it was not a nice goodbye. Because as much as they wanted to say he was over the hill, just like we see Tom Brady under center and Peyton Manning under center calling everything he see out on the defense, Urlacher was on the other side calling everything he would see on offense. And those guys were always in their gaps, in their position to make plays.
Yeah.
I agree.
Definitely a big loss personnel-wise, losing Urlacher. And then, obviously, the head coach and Lovie Smith. It's just a lot of transition. But our offense definitely much improved this season. Before we get to our own segments, I want to get to keep it NFC. You know, at the season end of the day, guys, the Arizona Cardinals are the sixth seed. We really haven't talked about them much this season, but before the games this weekend, I believe I was the only one who predicted Arizona to beat Indianapolis simply because that defense, that front seven, is very ferocious, and the whole secondary even is very good. And for them to come out and win 41-10, with Bruce Arians, as we all know what he did last year as the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts for most of the season. You know, it's 7-4. Can they keep this up? Are they playoff bound? The Cardinals? Are they really going to do this? I mean, you know, you're a guy. Obviously, you both are who watches NFC teams. I mean, from what you've seen from the Cardinals, I'm not sure how much you have seen. I mean, do they look like a playoff team to you? And if so, how serious should we take them?
Oh, take them seriously. I mean, you know, they're scoring points. They have a great defense. You know, take them seriously. Well, what people don't seem to realize is that this team has won four in a row. You know, they beat the Falcons. They beat the Texans. Okay, now those are teams that last year were better than they were this year. They beat the Jags. Okay, so you look at those three wins and you say, okay, you know, these are teams with two wins. But then they beat the Colts. They actually played the Seahawks very well. They lost, but they were competitive with the Seahawks. They were competitive with the 49ers. But this is a team that is growing right before your eyes. And, you know, when I look at this schedule coming up, they've got the Eagles. Now, they're in Philly, but the Eagles lost 9 in a row in Philly. And, you know, we're going to pick these games, but, man, you know, that's going to be a really good game. And they have the Rams, and the Rams are starting to play a little bit better too, but that's going to be a good game. But then they've got the Titans. I think, you know, Titans up and down, you know. Seahawks in Seattle, they're not going to beat them.
No.
49ers for the playoff spot. 49ers, Arizona game, week 17, could be for either the 6th seed or 5th seed. Something in there could be on the line for that game, and I think Arizona is going to be in the mix. I think they're looking at a potentially a 10-6 season, and I think they're going to be right there in the mix. You can't sleep on them at all. You really can't.
No, definitely. And a team that's coming together at the right time. I mean, Carson Palmer is starting to get it together. The offense is starting to flow a little bit. And you see the young Michael Floyd out of Notre Dame. I watched a lot of him when he played here in college. That guy's a beast. And he's a big guy, 6'5", very fast. And, he's being, let's be honest, he's being mentored, being taught by who better than Larry Fitzgerald. And Fitzgerald's on his game, of course. And they have two big wideouts. Palmer's airing it out under that Bruce Arians offense. They look really good, but that defense is definitely no joke. I mean, Patrick Peterson, the whole secondary, really. And then just that front seven. And there's no real big names within that defense minus Patrick Peterson, but they just fly to the ball, and they can put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, as we saw against Indianapolis. Train, I mean, I'm not sure how much you've seen about Arizona, but what are your impressions of them from what you have seen?
I think it's a tale of two halves of the season. The schedule did get favorable for them to get some wins, but that happens to everybody during the season, because every team is just not that good. But you do what you're supposed to do in those games, and you win, and you build momentum. And it's, the fact that they're catching it now makes them a very dangerous team, because at the beginning of the season, Carson Palmer was struggling. I mean, he was struggling due to the fact that the offensive line couldn't hold any, couldn't keep a two-year-old from pass rushing the quarterback. But, Bruce Arians found a way. He found a way to get the offense to rolling, to be comparable with their defense, because their defense has played fairly well throughout the season. So if Carson Palmer can keep it up, then, the Cardinals could definitely have a lot of steam. Heading towards the end of the season and possibly a playoff spot. It just sucks because, once again, my Bears have to contend with them in order to get in. Yeah. Impressed again.
Yeah. But, you guys might mess around winning the division the way Detroit just wants to give up games as well. And who knows, Aaron Rodgers is still out indefinitely.
Some players to come back. But anyway, I'll save it.
Sorry, I'm getting sad. Yeah, let's transition, since the team that was the victim of that murder in Phoenix, the Indianapolis Colts, they lose again, and they lose big. I mean, the Colts have run away at the division. There's no one who can really contend with them. The Jaguars are out of it. The Titans are 5-6 and technically the sixth seed in the playoffs end of the day, but clearly aren't going to win a division unless Indianapolis just has a free fall, which, again, Indianapolis just beat a week ago. But are the Colts just one and done? What's going on with them? Because from my eyes, from what I've seen, to me, the Colts just look like a talent-depleted team and missing their stud receiver, Reggie Wayne. You have a young quarterback, Andrew Luck, who is extremely talented. The eyeball test says he's great. But when you have no running game, we have Donald Brown, Trent Richardson not being able to run the ball, you have a underwhelming offensive line, you lose your blanket. Your security blanket, Reggie Wayne, who seemed to always find a way to get open against any kind of covers there is. Like, the Colts' offense has sputtered. That defense can't stop anything right now. They can't stop the run. They're getting out physical at the line of scrimmage. They like to play a lot on the run. The receivers are beating that little defensive back foot now. They're not getting much pressure. I mean, are the Colts one and done come playoff time? Because in my eyes right now, the AFC as a whole isn't very good. But let's be honest, the Colts look terrible right now. Train, do you see them as one and done? And what do you think of all the ailments they have right now, is their biggest one?
A one and done is hard. It's really hard to say. It really depends on who they're matched up with.
Right.
They'll definitely be playing at home because they, barring that they still win their division. But, we like to say that, one in football, we know one player can truly, they really can make a difference. No, I'm sorry. Them losing Reggie Wayne, man, that hurt. That hurt their offense tremendously, because he knew how to get open. He knew how to give Andrew Luck that go-to guy, which also left T.Y. Hilton, on mismatch almost every single time because of his speed. He lost. You're talking about losing a mentor, a teacher, a security blanket. I mean, that's a big security blanket that they lost. And I think that's I think that's really their biggest loss of the season, just losing Reggie Wayne. And because, you know, with them being able to, I mean, they've always, to me, I like the Colts because they're a hard-nosed team. They fight on offense. They fight on defense. You know, they kind of even kill on both sides of the ball since Peyton Manning has left. But, yeah, losing that one guy, I think, really hurt them.
Pete, do you agree? You think it's a Reggie Wayne thing, or do you think it's just a talented, depleted team that overexcelled earlier in the season?
A little bit of both. Reggie Wayne was huge, but, you know, Donald Brown was averaging 8 yards a carry before the last game. And, you know, the formula they had with Trent Richardson starting and then Donald Brown spelling him and coming in, and he was the home run hitter. And they were getting some success. And, you know, I watched a game against the Titans 2 weeks ago, and actually Donald Brown did very well for me. But let us not give the Colts the division just yet. They're up by 2 games with 5 games to go. You know, they play the Titans this weekend. The Titans win, yeah. Now they have a split, and they're 1 game apart. So let's hold off on just handing them the division because, you know, when we see them losing to the Rams and losing to, again, whooped by the Cardinals, like, I'm now wondering, are they just going to have a second-half collapse? We've seen this before with teams. We've seen teams start off good. We've seen the Giants do this. We've seen teams do this. So, but if they are able to hold on and win the division, I don't have high expectations. I think that you said Andrew Luck is great. I think he will be great. I don't think he's great just yet. I think he will be great. But he this is, to me, you know, put Tom Brady on that team, right? Put even Peyton Manning on this team. You know, put Aaron Rodgers, put Drew Brees on this team, and what happens? So Andrew Luck is not there yet, but this is kind of his time. Let's see what you got now, okay? You got 5 games. It's a 5-game season. You've got a 2-game lead. Not only do you want to win the division, but you want to play well. You know, this is the time, you know, and I don't want to, you know, this is something I wanted to talk about next week, but I'll just say this is the time where playoff teams start to get it together. And that run starts to happen now. So if the Colts are going to do anything, now is their time. You know, forget about yesterday, right? You know, if you're in that locker room, okay, you just got whooped. It's done. You got a 5-game season. You're up 2 games. You've got to put some momentum together, and you've got to figure out how are you going to fill these holes because the holes are there. But you've got a franchise quarterback that should be able to – you should be able to come up with a game plan around this. Right? This is what football is all about. Train has said it a number of times. Next man up, right? Okay. What are you going to do? Do you sit here and concede defeat? Or do you go in here and say, okay, we're going to compete, and this is how we were winning, and that's not working anymore because this guy's out, and this guy's hurt, and this guy's out, so now we have to regroup. And I'm curious to see if they got it. You know, if Tony Dungy's that coach, you're feeling a little bit different about this team, right? You know, not that I can't remember. What's the coach's name? The guy who's sick. Not that he's a bad coach, but, he's a younger coach. He's not as experienced as a Dungy. So I think the potential of being one and done is there, and we'll know a lot based on this game against Tennessee. To me, this is the start for your run now. This is it.
Yeah.
And what do? You collapse and get whooped? Or do you go in there and reassert yourself like you did when you beat Seattle or like when you beat Denver?
Yeah, I mean, I got to agree. The thing is, we've seen them, again, beat two of the best teams in the league in impressive fashion. And honestly, not really, they were definitely underdogs in both games. But, again, as I watched them, I don't know, that offense went really bad. And we can say for a few Donald Brown runs a game where he spells Trent Richardson and gets his yards to carry up. I mean, this is a team that just struggles with the ball, especially without Reggie Wayne. But, yeah, they absolutely got to regroup and game plan. And this Sunday, they have to win. This is a must-win for them at home against Tennessee because you're right. Tennessee wins this game. They're 6-6, and now they're thinking about taking the division rather than grabbing a wild card spot. And they didn't play very well at Tennessee. They definitely could have lost the game. They're down 17-0 in a hurry. They've been playing very, very poorly lately. But, you know, sticking to the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs lose again.
K-Star. I just have to throw. My honey texted me that I said that Luck wasn't great yet, and she said he's getting there, and she told me to be nice to him.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
See? Donnie agreeing with the honey of the show, which is me.
Okay. No, y'all keep the honey together. That doesn't work out. I'm sorry, Casey. That doesn't work. And I'm pretty sure that you're going to get, you know, the person who was trained getting himself in trouble last week, and then you're going to get yourself in trouble this week. So slow your roll. But ladies, hang tight because we got shout outs coming. Not just yet, but they're coming. But go ahead, K-Star.
Kansas City loses again, two straight now, in two straight divisional opponents, AFC West. They lose 41-38. That defense getting absolutely scorched at home against San Diego. Now, this is a team that, unfortunately, has some really big question marks for them, not just because they lost, to Justin Houston and Tom Ali for an undisclosed amount of time yet, but apparently Justin Houston dislocated his elbow, so he's probably out for quite a while. Not sure what the word is on Tom Ali. I'm sure they're still waiting on MRI results, but that's their two premier pass rushers. Now, are the Chiefs at 9-2 possibly in trouble, Train? Like, is that even fathomable for them to be in trouble at 9-2? Like, what do you think?
I think they are. I think they are if they can't win like they've been winning. If they can't get that defense in order like they were, that was their formula. That was their way of winning games. And I think if that defense doesn't return to form, it's gonna be tough for the Chiefs.
It's gonna be tough to return to form without Justin Houston and Tom Ali. Those two guys have been the best pass rushers in the league this year, and they happen to be playing on the same defense. I mean, to get 41 points, 41, at home. I mean, it's rough out there. It's looking bad. But, again, I feel like they can go as far as those MRI results go. I mean, if they're okay, if Tom Ali, if Justin Houston can come back and return at really any point, if they return 4 weeks from now, to me, they'll be fine, simply because they're already 9-2. They don't have to do much to win the wild card in the AFC. It's really weak. The fact of the matter is my Steelers are contending for a wild card at 5-6. It kind of shows you how bad the AFC is. So the Chiefs will definitely be playoff bound. But, I mean, as long as they get at least one of those two guys back, I think they'll be do you agree with me, or is there something more?
Well, I think it really boils down to and, guys, you know, I couldn't find this out. I thought I heard that they flexed the Kansas City-Denver game to Sunday night. Yet, when I looked it up, they still had the Giants and the Redskins Sunday night, which it makes no sense.
They did flex the game. That was their first meeting.
No, I'm talking about this coming up. This one, this.
No, I hadn't seen anything.
You
about
didn't hear that?
Flexing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That was
so
yeah. The
four.
Flexing was the first meeting. I didn't see anything.
Well,
that
I know. I thought they flexed this one too. But all right. So it's a 4 o'clock game on Sunday then, which, you know, really Giants and the Redskins Sunday night, really. Anyway, you know what it boils down to is really simply. If Kansas City is going to, I mean, they're not, they're, you know, we'll talk about rankings, but they've just dropped off the radar, losing two in a row. They've got to win this game against Denver to be considered, you know, AFC elite. They've got to win this game against Denver. And at this point now, based on what I saw from Kansas City and what I saw from Denver, I don't see it happening. I originally said that Kansas City would split. Well, I'm telling you now, I don't see it now. I don't see Kansas City playing, and I think the defensive injuries are going to be an issue. I just don't see them playing. I mean, they were able to put up some points, which we haven't seen a lot from them this year, but I'm not sold now. I'm not sold like I was a couple of weeks ago, and I think Denver is stinging after this unfortunate loss, and I think Peyton Manning's going to have, you know, something to prove, and we've seen Peyton Manning with something to prove before. So Kansas City, to stay relevant, they're going to get in the playoffs because they had such a strong start. But, again, I'll say it again, this is the time. You think about Super Bowl aspirations. You start now getting your team together, and you start to get all the bye weeks are done, and you want to make your run, and you start playing well and refining your schemes and doing things that take you into December. Those who play well in December have a better chance of making it to the Super Bowl. It's as simple as that. And Kansas City heading into December now is not playing well. So I'm losing a lot of faith in them. And if they lose to Denver, and if they lose poorly to Denver, if they have a poor showing, they're not even on my radar screen anymore. They really aren't.
Got some news on the flex. So basically, you are correct. However, they can't. So apparently, the NFL cannot flex games that have a 1 o'clock time to the actual Sunday night game, but they can flex the 1 o'clock game to a 4:05 or 4:25 game, for instance. And that's what they did here. It originally was a 1 o'clock game, the Denver at Kansas City, but they moved it to 4:25. It'll be
okay.
The afternoon game.
Okay. All right. So that makes you feel better. I knew I heard something about flexing, but okay, so it was the 4:30. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. We'll see. And she, like I said, the MRI results really big for what happens there. But you know what? We get all of that. Let's talk about teams that's been relevant in the past. Been the most relevant in NFL Super Bowl history. The Pittsburgh Steelers winning their third straight. And honestly, to me and to others, probably likely of the remaining 5 and 6 teams to make the playoffs, just because Big Ben is on fire. I mean, you look at other quarterbacks in contention for that 6th spot in the wild card. I mean, you have the Joe Flacco at Ravens. He's been playing terrible all season. You have the Geno Smith Jets, who's been benched. Who might be benched, I'm sorry. You have Miami, who's been up and down, also 5 and 6. And you have Tennessee, who is playing with Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. I mean, feeling pretty good. And the fact of the matter is the Steelers play Thanksgiving night, which really ultimately will decide if I have a good Thanksgiving or not. I mean, I love you, family, girlfriend. I love you and all. I'm sure we'll have a wonderful day together. But the Steelers lose Thanksgiving night, ultimately. It just was not a successful day for me. Watching my Steelers play and watching over the last 3 games, for me the biggest difference that has been made fundamentally and schematically is the fact that Todd Haley is on Big Ben winging. He is giving Big Ben more say as to how the offense is being run and what plays he can actually choose to his liking and use, because Ben is in the shotgun about 65% of the time now. I mean, previously what was going on was we would just throw short little screens and run a lot of under-center offense and run the ball, honestly, too often for it to even be effective with his behind a bad run-blocking offensive line. But ever since within the last 3 games that Ben has been able to be Ben and really just win the ball down the field, the Steelers, not coincidentally, 3-0, looking like the old Big Ben of the Bruce Arians era, who, you know, is a guy that can make plays on the run, even if there's nothing there, who can create within the pocket, and just playing lifestyle football. Now, first of all, on the defense is playing well as well, but to me there's still some concerns there. But Le'Veon Bell, clearly a difference maker as the Steelers, 0-4 without him, 5-3, I'm sorry, 5-2 since he's been inserted in the lineup. What do you guys think, first of all, is the biggest difference from outside perspective for the Steelers? We'll start with you, T, because, I mean, let's be honest, you know all about the whole Todd Haley experience. Do you think it's just the Todd Haley letting Big Ben be Big Ben thing, or do you think just the overall team is finally coming together?
Well, I think it's all of the above. I think, frankly, I think this will not become press, but what I'm thinking is that Todd Haley is much less of a factor. You know, you have Big Ben becoming more of a Peyton Manning with that team, and, you know, Haley may be co-signing because Ben ain't giving him no choice, you know, because I know Todd Haley, and Todd Haley is adamant to do things the way he wants to do it. And my gut tells me that Tomlin, Haley, and Ben had a meeting, and Ben said, look, we got to turn this thing around, and this ain't working. And Haley went along with it because he had no choice, you know. But I know Haley don't like, he wants to do it his way, and he will live and die his way. So I think Tomlin stepped in, and now Big Ben is more of the Peyton Manning show, so to speak. Okay, run it the way you want to run it. Well, let's put this game plan together based on your strengths and weaknesses. And now what happens is
again, head coach, quarterback. Now the defense starts to feel a little bit better because now they have more faith in the offense because now the offense is scoring points and doing some things. Now the defense does. Now it's not all on the defense, you know. And so you have the direct opposite right now in Chicago. I'm sorry, Train, where the defense isn't holding up their end of the bargain and the offense is stuttering along because there's no Jay Cutler and you know Train will talk about it. But I'm off that whole thing about Cutler not being the starter. Yeah, that's his team. He needs to be the starter into that conversation. I was there for a minute. I'm gone. But, you know, you have the flip opposite in Chicago that you have in Pittsburgh. And so, yeah, you guys, I'll tell you what, you guys win tomorrow night. I will be ready to say, and I told you before when you had your team buried that maybe you buried them a little prematurely. You win tomorrow night against the Ravens, I think every game you guys have is winnable. The only one that I think, you know, we'll see. You got the Bengals and the Packers. Bengals are home. Packers are in Green Bay. We'll see if Aaron Rodgers is back yet. I personally don't think he will, but they're talking that he will be back at some point, so we'll see. But you already beat the Browns. You'll beat the Dolphins, in my opinion, although the Dolphins can play, but them. Really, to me, your season right now is the Ravens. If you guys can beat the Ravens tomorrow, keep this momentum going, man. You're looking real good. You're looking real good.
Train, though.
Man, all I'm going to say is Mike Tomlin.
Yep.
That's it, man. That's all I'm going to say is Mike Tomlin. I know you know the Steelers in detail, but as long as that man is you guys' head coach, you know, you're not going to go, you're not going to crash and burn the season. Y'all gonna claw and scratch, and they're definitely clawing and scratching back. So, yeah, Mike Tomlin.
I mean, definitely a lot of Mike Collins. I mean, you have to mention Big Ben as well. He's been playing terrific over the past month. 11 touchdowns the last four games. Collins definitely kept the team still fighting, still believing that they had a chance. That's for sure. And I think T might be right about Tomlin getting with Haley, getting with Ben, kind of sorting this out and. You know, it just establishing, like, hey, man, like, this offense is going to go as Ben goes. This team is going to go as Ben goes at this point because our defense isn't as good as it used to be. Let's be honest. They need to – the defense plays much better on the Steelers defense in this year if the offense is producing points and just letting the defense kind of tee off on the quarterback because we can't start to run like we used to. That's not, something that every Sunday we can do as consistently as we were able to once. And because of that, and because of Big Ben and the offense being more wide open, the Steelers are creating turnovers and just looking really good. So I'm pretty encouraged by that. T, I want you to go ahead here, and it's time for T Bonks here. Before we get to it. I would be hard-pressed not to give you a proper introduction. So, without further ado,
when I'm at Cowboys Stadium or sitting at home and I hear Papa John's pizza for Jerry Jones, yo, it lights me up like a Roman candle with toppings and flavor almost too good to handle. Cowboys, five stars, what I get. Like a Papa John's Pepsi, double crack. Get a Papa John's large with up to five toppings. And
we know that's Cowboys related. Pete, take it from here.
Okay, and let me also ask a special request of you guys. When you do your segment, end off with, since we are 2 days away from Thanksgiving, I think it's only appropriate that you end your individual segment with something you want to give thanks for. I think that would, I think that would be appropriate. And I also want to just really quick say, I know he's not listening. My brother's coming to town, but I meant to wish him a happy birthday last Tuesday. On the show, and I just forgot, believe it or not. And so in the unlikely event that he hears this archive,
brother, my brother Jason, I love you to death, man. I'm so glad you're coming home, and a happy birthday. I did wish him a happy birthday on his birthday a week ago, but happy birthday. But anyway, so at the end of your segments, guys, give thanks to whatever you want to give thanks to for Thanksgiving, and I'll do the same. And, you know, my segment is real easy. You know, and it's ironic that Saint has not called in tonight, and it is a microcosm of what we faced in Dallas. You know, and I, you know, Tony Romo, 11 fourth quarter comebacks since 2011 to lead the NFL. He gets such a bad rap for certain things that go on, and people only remember that, and they forget things like what happened in New York. And, was that a big game? Yes, it was. A division game in New York against a surging New York Giant team. After coming off a whooping that New Orleans put on us, and you saw Tony Romo do what I've seen Tony Romo do far more times than the mistakes that he gets so criticized for. That's vintage Tony Romo. You saw greatness on that last drive. And let us not forget that three of those catches were by Dez Bryant. You know, maybe he doesn't have a game with 16 catches and 300 yards, but he's a playmaker. And he deserves to wear that 88. So, you know, I get disgusted with Stephen A. Smith, and I have something in store to address that soon, and I'm just not ready yet. But the guy just can't give credit where credit is due. He just can't. You know, Cowboys won, Romo brought him back, and fantastic job by Jason Garrett, who I have criticized repeatedly this year for making poor decisions as a head coach. But you know what? I like what Dallas has done with Callahan calling the plays to Garrett, and instead of Garrett calling him the Romo instead of Wade Wilson calling him the Romo. Now it gives Garrett a chance to be involved directly with Tony, just like Sean Payton, just like Mike McCarthy, you know, and I think we're going to see more benefits from that down the road. So I just want to say give the man credit where credit is due, and, you know, will he make another mistake? Sure he will. But let us not act like that's all Tony Romo does. You know, Tony Romo is a very, very good quarterback. Dare I say, borderline great quarterback. So that's my T-Bonic. Quickly, I'm going to give thanks to, first of all, my kids, you know, Melina and Amari. I give thanks to them and all my family and friends. I give thanks to, you know, the people that are in my inner circle and, you know, that pick me up when I'm down and have been there for me through highs and lows. You know, and also I give thanks to my two co-hosts because you guys are doing this and you don't have to do this, and I appreciate it. And it's a nice break in my week to spend a couple of hours talking football. And I give mom and dad because without them there'd be no T. There'd be no Commissioner T, the omniscient one. You know, and I would be remissful if my last thanks was not to my honey, Lena, because, you know, guys, it comes a time when you meet somebody, you know, when you meet somebody and you're skeptical, right, you know, because you just don't know, right? You know, what's this person all about? You know, men, we meet women, or women meet men, and we've all been through ups and downs, and we've done stuff. And I think Lena and I met at a point where we were both skeptical about men and women. And she has shown me that there are, at least with her, there's at least one more good woman out there. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman, and I'm so glad to have met her and so glad where things are between her and I now, and only hope for more in the future. So I'm thankful for her, too. So we'll say it again at the end of the show, but since this is my segment, everybody out there, enjoy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your friends and families and loved ones. And that's what Thanksgiving is all about. So.
Definitely well said, T. Well, let me just the intro do it self-explaining for you.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
Dollar, dollar. Dollar, dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling. Cut the chatter.
Dr. Train's philosophy. Now, before he gets started, let me just say that he may not be as upbeat as that beat that I just put on for him, but, I mean, the man says that apparently it's everyone else's favorite segment on the show, which I'm a little skeptical about, but, hey, it's his Dr. Train's philosophy. Train, take it over.
Appreciate it, K-Star. Welcome to another week of Dr. Train's philosophy. Man, simply put, man, this is a bad day. This is a bad sports season. Just the fall along for Chicago. And I know this show is about the NFL, but, you know, first starting off with the Bears, here we are. We've taken out Aaron Rodgers. That was all a part of the plan. We're sitting here with the division right in our hands, and we can't grasp it. We had a change in coaching staff, which, you know, causes the defense to really just play like crap. We've lost two of our top three defensive linemen. We've lost our best cornerback and arguably one of the best cornerbacks in the league in Charles Tillman for the season. Lance Briggs is out for another couple of weeks. Jay Cutler isn't playing, and I don't care what y'all say about Jay Cutler, how much of an a-hole people think he is, he simply gets it done for me. And, you know, the defense just looks like it's being ran over. And to couple along with that, Derrick Rose is out for the season.
Again, at least.
If Chicago gave me a letdown, I could watch the Bulls for the remainder of the week and feel better the next Sunday. But mind you, this is more like a rant, a vent. I bought tickets for the Clippers game the day before the Bulls played Portland on their road trip. Left the house in the fourth quarter as I was watching the game and find out the night before they played the Clippers that Rose is out for the season. Yep, that's the money I wish I had back. So, and we go out and get blown out by 39 by the Clippers.
The Bears are what we thought they were.
Sorry about that. Go ahead, Trent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. So it's just a rough time to be a Chicago sports fan right now. But the Bears, you know, really not looking good at the present moment and looking almost slim to none to making the playoffs. And the only way to get probably will be the division, and we are definitely feel like two games behind Detroit, even though we're tied with them. And then there's no Derrick Rose to help you lick your wounds and make you feel better. Yeah, I'm going to go back to my corner and be depressed now.
Well, before you do that, though, I want
you to... The Bears are what we thought.
but you have to do your give thanks to there, Dr. Train.
Yeah. But through all that, you know, thinking about what I want to give thanks for, I was simply just like to thank God for my family and my friends. I've been through a lot, I consider, for myself. And, you know, everyone's life is different. But to make it as far as I've made it in life and to where I am now, I really have to thank my family and my friends for being there, and thank God for putting the certain people in my life when I needed them to make it to where I am now. And that's really, truly what I give thanks for.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Hey, I want to add one thing, not to the giving thanks, but just, you know, this is a football show, but just on Derrick Rose, because we all follow basketball too, and just on Derrick Rose, my heart broke for that, simply because I know how hard he worked to come back and to be gone. You know, my fear now is for him, is he may never be that same guy that we saw a couple years ago. You know, MVP. I mean, dude was serious. You know, and you know, will he play again? Probably, but will he be the same guy? I don't know, man. That's a lot to come back from. So we just can keep him in our prayers, and him and his family in our prayers, and wish him nothing but the best. That's all we can do. But I look at it. I get sometimes when I look at these injuries, I go a little deeper than the sports aspect of it, and look at the person and the family, and you know, like wow, you know, it's just sad because he's a good dude, you know, and to go through this, you know, it just I feel for him. I feel for him and his family, his support system, you know. So, but that's why I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, very sad. I mean, I really like I don't know. I was really looking forward to the Pacers Bulls renewed rivalry with Paul George and Derrick Rose kind of headlining the two formidable teams, and it's just definitely sad to see Train. So I feel for you, man.
Yeah.
But no, well.
I know I'm sexy, I've got the look that drives the girls wild, I've got the move.
I don't really know if my girlfriend really is in favor of that intro for me, but I am the sexy girl. Bad deal, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah, of course if she thinks you're cute and sexy, she got to be.
Wait. We can't let that go. Well, are you saying your very own girlfriend may not think of you as sexy? Is that what you're saying?
Let's be real. She definitely thinks me as sexy, but okay. I don't think that she may necessarily want me to be the sexy boy, whereas all the other girls, you know, are, you know, trying to get a piece. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I mean, proclaimed as the definitive sexy boy, she might have a problem with. But whatever. That's my theme song, so she can deal.
I'm not even going to touch that one. Go on. I'm not even going to touch that one.
You know, I don't have a segment this week, but I'm going to keep it Thanksgiving themed because, I mean, there's a whole lot of things that a lot of people I'm thankful for and a whole lot of reasons to be thankful for. And as I jokingly was just mentioning my girlfriend, I'm definitely very thankful for her. She's made me and has helped make me into really a selfless type of person, which I didn't really anticipate or expect me to ever be. I've been hurt a lot. And it's not like she initiated it, she forced or anything like that. But me and the time I spent with her, it kind of naturally has come to fruition where I don't just think about me or I don't just do things, you know, just myself, as the thought process. Like my whole demeanor has changed a lot just as far as my everyday life decisions and what I do. And I'm pretty happy just because I look at myself in the mirror. I'm pretty happy for what I kind of have developed into as a man, and I think she's a big part in that. And again, it wasn't manufactured, it wasn't, you know, something that was forced, it was really natural, and I'm really thankful for her in my life. And I'm thankful for my parents, my family. I'm thankful for you guys for being amazing hosts and co-hosts. T, you've done a great job. I really appreciate you bringing me onto the show a few years ago. Train, you're amazing co-hosts as well. Even though we get into it, all of us from time to time, I love you guys. You guys are great. I'm thankful for Ben Roethlisberger and the three Super Bowls he's taken my Steelers to, winning two of them. Big Ben, like, I know I just said I wasn't, you know, selfish anymore, but, I mean, can you please get us, like, another one before you retire? I really would appreciate that. That would be tremendous. And, you know, I'm just thankful for, honestly, just being healthy at this point in my life and just everything that, you know, has kind of come about and helped develop into who I am today and for the opportunities and future I have down the road. So thank you to everyone out there, and thank you to all the listeners. Thank you for everyone who tunes in, take some time out of their day listening to us, be silly on here, have some heated debates, and drop some education on you guys. Big shout-outs to everyone out there who tunes in to the Madden World.
Absolutely.
Very thankful for you guys. I think that, you know, Train T definitely can back me up on that.
Yep.
Let's get to the power rankings, guys. The TNB power rankings have shifted a little bit. Obviously, the Broncos have lost. So, with number five, we have the Patriots. Number four, we have the Panthers. Number three, we have the Saints. Number two, we have the Broncos. Number one, we have the Seahawks. So, we have a new number one team. Now, the Broncos have lost. The Broncos have fell to number two overall. Saints at three, Panthers four, five, Patriots. Trey, wanted to ask you one thing. No Patriots on your list. Why? And another thing, how and why are the Broncos? Oh, I'm sorry. No. You had them. You just had them at number two, which is so high. I almost missed them there. But why? Mm-hmm. Why the Broncos three, Patriots two? I mean, it was one game, bro. It was one game, and it was a pretty crazy game and some crazy climate. Why do you have New England over Denver? Just because they beat them? I mean, what's the deal there?
Wow. Oh, yeah. Surprised you would ask that, but you know, I'll answer for you if you so desire. Yes, one game. And how many games do they play in the season? 16. How often do they meet? All depends on the schedule. One game makes a big difference in a tiebreaker and in whether you would have home field advantage in the playoffs. One game is all it takes to get put out of the playoffs. One game, along with some others that follow, if you're in position, is what it takes. Win a Super Bowl. So, yeah, it was one game and the Patriots won. And that's why I have them at number two, and they also beat the Saints.
See, the
and
problem.
The fact,
the problem is,
no, I mean, they're a resilient team that gets it done, dude. You can't, that can't go unlooked. I'm sorry, but when it comes to football, that's enough for me.
Well, the problem with this week's rankings, I'm not saying with your rankings, but the monkey wrench is the Panthers who beat Patriots. And
ooh.
So the Panthers, who are at 8-3 and beat the Patriots, yet we all have the Patriots ahead of the Panthers. And so at somewhere the head-to-head matchup can't hold out because somewhere it's got you're I agree with you in theory, the head-to-head matchup, when it's a tie between two teams, then whoever won their head-to-head game should be the deciding factor. But we've got so much cross-contamination here that it just is not going to hold because, the Patriots beat the Saints, the Patriots beat the Broncos, but the Panthers beat the Patriots. And the Panthers are 8-3 just like the Patriots. So somewhere, one of us, and I think we all, at some, you know, K-Star and I actually happen to agree, and we left the Broncos at number two, and I don't disagree with you, Train. It was hard, it was hard because somewhere in these rankings you were disavowing we were all disavowing a head-to-head matchup because there was no way to do it without minimizing one of the head-to-head matchups. And so for me, it was, the Broncos-Patriots game ended on Wes Welker making a mistake. And so for me, it was, Patriots won, but look how they won. For me, that's why I was able to leave the Broncos ahead of them. Broncos played lights out in the first half. Patriots played lights out in the second half. They go into overtime. Wes Welker makes a mistake. Patriots win. I said, well, where does that leave me for power rankings? So that was my logic. I'm not disagreeing with your train at all. I'm saying it was hard. It was hard.
Well, just for the sake of debate, we've also agreed that when you're doing your power rankings, you look at the whole season up to this far, even past all the way up to recent with this season, because that's what we're looking at. And I simply put, just the Patriots, just the way they played. True, they did lose to the Panthers. But the way they played and for who they've beaten, it was tough for me to just leave them where I always left them, in between four and five, just because they were down one game from teams that they have already beaten.
Yeah, I mean, and again, in the same logic, the Panthers have won seven in a row. And so, you know what I mean? So you look at the season, they have the largest winning streak in the NFL right now. So, like I said, it's it's tough. I think we have all, we agree of the five teams, it was just the order, you know, and because Tank Star and I happen to agree, it just kind of worked out where, you know, those were the rankings that won. But it's getting tough now to do top five because the teams are so
close. Yeah. I mean, I might have a huge shift come next week depending on, you know,
I think we would be remiss to not note that a 9-2 team isn't even in our top five. None of us had the Chiefs top five anymore.
I almost put them in there, but just the way that they've fallen with just the past two games, the way that they've been winning all season, that disappeared. And you know, they've lost some steam. I'm doing my best not even try to predict what they're gonna do the next game. Just these past two games, when it came down to the part of their schedule where they're definitely gonna play teams that we know have some offensive firepower, they lost their formula.
Right, and the other teams
have gained. I'm not about predicting the future. I want to see it. I'm an engineer. That's how
we work. Let me tell you something. The Chiefs, the Broncos Chiefs game is on the agenda to pick. So you have to pick into the future that is next Sunday, sir.
But I have something to build off of, like we've done with every
single week. I'm messing around.
Yeah. The point remains that the Chiefs were 9-0. I don't care what you say, K-Star. They were 9-0. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with where we were 2 weeks ago when they were undefeated and 9-0. Okay, now they're 9-2. Okay, they've lost two games, and they are where they are. But they were 9-0, and you know they may still get in the playoffs because they started 9-0. So
they'll get in the playoffs. They have 6 weeks. I just didn't really believe in them as a whole. But still, I mean, again, a lot of the Chiefs' future really just depends on Justin Houston, Tom Ali. Hopefully, those guys are okay. Just because injuries are terrible, and you kind of want to see the Chiefs being capable of being the Chiefs again. No, they're going to be playoffs regardless. But again, hopefully, you know, Houston and Ali are okay.
Let me just say this: we've got a lot of games to pick because every one of these games has playoff implications. So there's a lot of games to pick. So let's keep our. Because I'm hungry. I have not eaten.
Yeah.
I'm hungry as heck. So let's keep our analysis for each of these games kind of limited so we can get through because I think there's like 10 games. We're picking for almost every game. So, but K-Star, just setting that foundation. So,
right, let's get to it. Packers at Lions, opening Thanksgiving game. Trent, who do you like?
Packers at Lions. No, man.
No, Aaron
Rodgers. I'm going to go with the Packers. I'm going to go with Mike Flynn doing what he did to get paid his $10 million from Seattle. And simply because the Lions, they don't know how to finish. They simply don't know how to finish. So I feel good about the Packers winning the game.
Okay. T, Packers Lions, who do you like?
Did you call him Matt or Mike? Because it's Matt Flynn. I thought you said
he
Mike.
He called him Mike. That's how much
he's
losing.
Yeah.
Mike. Matt, my bad. I know it's him.
I'm going with the Lions only because they're home and there's no Aaron Rodgers, so Lions at home.
I'm also going with the Lions because no Aaron Rodgers. It's just, no, it's not happening. I don't care how bad the Lions have been. At the end of those games, they're going to win this one. Steelers at Ravens. Let me take this one. Steelers are going to win this game. Big Ben and the offense got it going on. Joe Flacco and the Ravens offense has been struggling. I think Steelers defense gets an early lead here. Is able to tee off on Flacco, generate some turnovers, ice the game. Pittsburgh wins 4 straight. T.
Never thought I'd say this, but I'm going with the Steelers. Tomlin has got this team playing, and they need this game. So, Steelers.
Trey?
Originally, I had the Ravens pick, but you know, after everything I've said, yeah, Mike Tomlin. Steelers.
Good answers, guys. Tie-ins at Colts.
big AFC tilt here. I want to take this one first, AFC guy here. I'm going to go with the Colts. I think they turn it around at home against Tennessee. They really need to rally. And, I mean, Andrew Luck is just better than this. As bad as they've been, they're better than the Titans. So I'm going with the Colts. Train, what do you like?
I'm going to roll with the Colts again, man. The Titans are just a crazy team, but they're a crazy team at home. You know, they're one of them weird teams at home. But on the road, I like the Colts to bounce back. And they definitely need to get this win in order to make sure they get the division.
T, Titans or Colts?
I'm going to go with the Colts, Andrew Luck, just because my honey's a fan of Andrew Luck. So I'm going to go ahead with the Colts. Andrew Luck's going to play well, and he's going to rebound, and they need this game. This may cinch the division, pretty much clinches the division for them if they win. So Colts,
yep.
Luck has a big game.
Agreed. Shout out to the honey again, your honey. Bucks at Panthers.
Absolutely.
Bucks at Panthers. Of course, I'm going to take this one as a game I am. The Campers here. I'm going to Carolina. I mean, I know the Bucks have been on a roll, but Carolina's defense is very, very good at home. And the Tampa Bay pass defense, not without Darrell Revis this game. That makes it easier on Cam Newton and the Panthers. I like Carolina. Train, what do you like?
I like Carolina to continue and you know, getting set up to play against some Saints for the division. So I like Carolina.
The most dangerous is a team that has nothing to lose. Bucks 3 in a row. The Bucks will upset the Panthers. You heard it here first. I'm going Bucks.
Still hating on the Panthers. Bears at Vikings. Train, Mr. NFC North, Mr. Chi-Town Blues. Let's give it to you. What do you got?
By an act of God, we found a way to slow down Adrian Peterson. And no, really, they need to play. They realize this game. This is a division game. This is a win that they need. And we still got what it takes to win a game. I mean, we're going to be without Jay Cutler, but you know, having a brain fart. What's my quarterback again? Josh.
McCown.
McCown still has it. He can still run his offense, and the offense is going to have to pick up slack. And, you know, hopefully the defense can make, put some kind of defense on Adrian Peterson so that we can put the game in Christian Ponder hands and get some turnovers. So, go Bears.
Pete, Bears Vikings, what do you like?
Cutler's out, and there's even scuttlebutt that they're not too sure that he'll be ready to play Dallas in an upcoming game. So, whatever it is, has got Cutler out. That ankle and whatever else. You know, Train, I wish you the best of luck, but I'm going to pick the Vikings. Your team didn't show me enough against the Rams for me to pick them against the Vikings division game. If you were home, I'd pick you, but in Minnesota, Adrian Peterson, I got to go with the Vikings.
I, too, am going with the Vikings. They're going to control the line of scrimmage. You guys can't stop Zach Stacy. You can't stop Cunningham. You couldn't stop Brandon Jacobs. You sure as hell aren't going to stop Adrian Peterson. I like the Vikings. Cards at Eagles. Pete, why don't you take this one for us since the NFC East Eagles will be playing this game.
Yeah, this is going to be a hell of a game. This is going to be a hell of a game. I mean, no disrespect to the Broncos and Chiefs or the Saints and the Seahawks. You know, Saints going to play the Seahawks. In Seattle, those both should be great games. But this game could steal the game as a game of the week. This is going to be a heck of a game. But I'm going to go with the Cardinals, not because I want them to win. The Eagles don't play well at home. That's the reality of it. They just won their first home game. They don't play well at home. They are coming off a bye. They do know who their quarterback is going to be. They do have some weapons. They do have some talent on defense. On offense. I'm not sold on their defense at all. The Cardinals are playing some good football. They're confident. You know, I do know weather could play a factor here, but I'm going with the Cardinals, man. I really think the Cardinals are for real. I think that they're going to show us something. So, Cardinals.
Train. Cards, Eagles.
I'm going to have to go with the Cardinals, man. I mean, I said it earlier. They are playing good at the right time, and they're picking up some steam.
I'm also going with the Cardinals. I just don't see the Eagles' defense stopping Michael Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald. They've got it going on right now. Carson Palmer playing really well. The Eagles' defense has been pretty bad all season. And the last time the Eagles' offense played even remotely good defense, they got handled. I think the Eagles still put up some decent numbers, but the Cardinals' defense, again, very much a legitimate, bona fide top NFL defense in this league. I'm going to Cardinals. Dolphins at Jets. I'll go ahead and take this one. I want to go with the Dolphins because Geno Smith has been getting everyone the ball lately. The past 5 games, I believe he has 10 interceptions, something ridiculous like that. They've been struggling as of late. The Dolphins play really good pass defense. I believe Chris Ivory might be out this game. With that said, I'm going with Miami beating the New York Jets at New York. T, who do you like here, Dolphins or Jets?
I am so disappointed in Geno Smith. I had such high hopes for him. He's just not looking good. He really isn't. I can't even defend him. He's just not playing well. I got to go with the Dolphins. I just think they're the better team, better coached. Even with all of the incognito garbage, which I just don't even want to talk about anymore, I just think they're the better team. So, Dolphins.
Train.
Oh, I have really no saying. I agree with both of you guys. No belief in Geno Smith or anything that the Jets got going on, but for some reason these are games and the Jets find ways to win. I'm still going to pick the Dolphins.
Well done. NFC West tilt here. Rams at Niners. I'll go ahead and, you know what, actually, Train, go ahead and take this one. NFC Rams and Niners, who do you like here?
The Rams are going to scare the snot out of the Niners, and the Niners are going to win.
T.
Niners at home. The Rams are playing better, but not enough to beat the Niners at home. Niners.
I also like the Niners here. I just think that at home they play even better defense than they do on the road, and the Rams maybe without their top back, Zach Stacy. I like the Niners here. Bengals at Chargers, very interesting matchup. This could be a high-scoring affair. I'll go ahead and take
you know,
this
we
one.
Did. Can I just say something? You know, we did just completely, like, disrespect the fact that the Rams, didn't they beat them twice last year, the 49ers, or beat them once and tied once?
They beat them once and tied them once. Absolutely.
Right. We just totally act like they don't even play the 49ers tough. But anyway, I'm sorry. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, this is a very, very disrespectful bunch of times, let's be honest here.
Yes, we but not to our ladies. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Bengals at Chargers. I am going to pick the Chargers. Part of it is because I'm a Steelers fan. But a lot of it is because the fact of the matter is the Chargers are playing really good offense. Obviously, they handled the Chiefs and put a 41 on them. The Bengals had a good defense, but like the Chiefs, they're missing some key components to their defense, mainly Geno Atkins, the premier pass rushing DT in the NFL. I like San Diego at home to go to 6-6 and upset me. T, who do you like, Bengals or Chargers?
Man, oh, man. Tale of two teams. You know, both teams can play lights out and both teams can stink it up. Who did you go with, K-Star?
I went with the Chargers.
Yeah, I think there's a little
right.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Chargers because they're home. I almost feel like this is going to be a letdown game for them because, you know what, I'm going with the Bengals because this is going to be a letdown game for the Chargers. They just had a big win in Kansas City. We know how hard it is to win in Kansas City. They went out there and won. Big win. And this is what they do. They get you thinking, oh, maybe they have a shot to do something special, and, you know, they're going to blow it. So the Bengals are going to win this game.
Blow it out your ass.
That was fun.
Train, Bengals or Chargers here?
Well, you know, the Chargers are the most consistently inconsistent team in the league. Yeah. And I like the Bengals. I like the Bengals from the beginning of the season, even after we whooped them. So I'm going with the Bengals on this one. The Chargers
Broncos
will find a way to lose.
The Chargers will what? Find a way to lose? Is that what you said?
Yeah, they will find a way to lose this game.
I think the Bengals will find a way to lose this game. Broncos at Chiefs. I'll take this one. I like Denver. The weather forecast isn't expecting 20-mile-an-hour winds, which means Peyton Manning will actually be allowed to throw the ball. This is how he can actually handle 50-degree weather there as well, predicted to be. Tom Ali, no Justin Houston, means no outside pressure on Peyton Manning, which means probably a lot of points put against that Chiefs defense. I like Denver. T, Broncos or Chiefs?
Well, I am going back on what I originally predicted. I predicted a split. I really did not think that Kansas City would lose at home to San Diego. I expect Kansas City and Andy Reid and these boys to come out and play better. You know what? I'm not gonna waffle. I'm gonna stick with my original conviction. It's a weak one though. It's a very weak one. I'm gonna go stick with Kansas City. I'm just gonna stick with Kansas City because I know what Andy Reid is capable of. I've watched him coach for many years in Philly, and he's going to be the X factor in this game. And John Fox probably won't be back, and I think that's still an issue for Denver. Del Rio is an okay coach, but he's not John Fox. So I'm going to go stick with my original conviction from a few weeks ago. I'm going to say Kansas City comes out with a squeaker, you know, a close victory, but Kansas City.
All right, Trey.
Solely based on the fact that the Chiefs are missing their pass rushers. They will be missing their pass rushers, and I think that's serious. They couldn't get a pass rush on Peyton Manning when they were healthy, and now they're not healthy, and they expect them to get one now. That's a tough one, even at home. So I'm going to have to go with Denver on this one. Definitely, if the Chiefs were healthy, I'd be taking the Chiefs at home, but I know what a desperate can happen when you have a decimated defense. I know that personally. It hurts.
Yeah, you do. You really
going
do.
Back from the corner.
Yeah, you go back there. Saints at Seahawks. T, who do you like in this NFC matchup?
You know, guys, and this could easily be an NFC championship preview right here, and I mean that. No disrespect to the Bears or the Cowboys, but these are clearly – you're a Steelers fan. You just Panthers bandwagon, so I'm not giving you that much love. But these are the two best teams in the NFC, period. And Seattle is a very difficult place to play. But I'm going to go with the Saints to go into Seattle and do what I don't know if anyone's done this yet since Russell Wilson's been a quarterback, is beat Russell Wilson in Seattle. I think he's undefeated at home over last year and this year. So it is now he's due for a loss. And if the Saints can't go in there and do it, no one can. And I need Drew Brees to keep me. You know, by the way, K-Star, Train and I have both clinched our playoff spots as I told you we would. But anyway, I need Drew Brees to just keep playing at that high level, keep getting 3-4 touchdown passes a week. Go ahead, I can do that. I'm going with the Saints. Defense is playing well, and I'm going with the Saints.
I noticed that you two made the playoffs. I want to congratulate you both and welcome you into the playoff EAFL fraternity, as I am 9-3, just was waiting on you guys to join me. So I'm glad you guys have come to the dance. Welcome.
Yeah, we were on our way. I told you not to worry about it. But anyway,
Trane, who do you like, Saints or Seahawks here?
I'm going to go with the Saints. And I'm going to go with the Saints to beat the Seahawks at home because the Seahawks will be missing some defensive players. And we know that is truly the strength of that team. They're going to be missing not only just any defensive players. They're going to be missing Browner and another defensive back that's very significant to their defense. Yeah. I'm going to go with the Saints.
I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks at home. Even when you do have Russell Wilson beat, the NFL is going to find a way to make sure Russell Wilson isn't beat at Green Bay last year. But in all seriousness, I'm going with Seattle. Like, here's the thing. I mean, I know it was a couple of years ago, and I know it was completely different personnel on the Saints defense, but, like, we saw what Marshawn Lynch did to this team and how he became beast mode a couple of years ago in the playoffs, and the Seahawks were 7-9 egregiously winning that division. But, I mean, let's be honest, the Saints, their strength defensively is the pass defense. The Seahawks' strength is the running game. Add in a Percy Harvin coming off a bye week, which means a new wrinkle to the Seahawks' offense. I like Seattle at home over the Saints. All right, guys. We're going to take it to the final thoughts, final words out there before we close the show out. Train, you can go ahead and start us off. Do you have any final words before Thanksgiving and the NFL slate of games begin this weekend?
Only just a few birthday shout-outs. One to my mother, they say it not supposed to say a woman's age, but when it's a cool digit, you can, I think you can. My mother just turned 55, so she's blessed with 55 years on his head, so happy birthday to my mother, to my mom, happy birthday to my grandmother, happy birthday to Erica's, grandmother as well. There's quite a few birthdays in November. And also, happy birthday to one of our faithful listeners. She's not on tonight, but y'all know her as One Rich Scissors. You've seen her in the chat room dozens of times. And she's a Steelers fan, of course, K-Star. So,
yeah.
But happy birthday to her. Today is her birthday, so happy birthday to my friend Dez as well. And all I want to say...
Round of applause for the Steelers fan, her birthday. Happy birthday.
And lastly, you know, just happy Thanksgiving to everyone. And like K-Star said before, I definitely agree. Thank you guys for supporting this show. I'm definitely grateful for that.
Kind of words there. Well said, Train. T, final thoughts before we head out this evening?
So much I could say, but I will only say this. Thanksgiving is 2 days away. We are blessed to be able to still be alive for Thanksgiving. Let us enjoy this day for what it's meant to be about. You know, it's meant to be about family and friends and football, if you ask me. You know, that's really the days. Or food, family, and football. If that's the F's you want to use, it don't matter to me. But whoever it is, it makes your Thanksgiving special. Spend time with them, hug them, kiss them, tell them you love them. Enjoy the food, enjoy the games, and just enjoy the day. Take a day off from the stress and the trials and tribulations of life. You know, if you're having bill problems, take a day off away from that. If you're having family problems, if you're having relationship problems, if you're having money problems, whatever it may be, just give yourself a day off. Give your brain, give your mind and soul and your heart, just give it a day off and enjoy the day. Enjoy it. You know, the problems will be there on Friday. They'll be there on Saturday. Matter of fact, if you can push it off to Monday, do that for yourself and just enjoy a few days of happiness and peace. Tomorrow is promised to no one, so you must live for today because you may not have tomorrow. So I hope everybody out there has a very happy Thanksgiving, a safe Thanksgiving, a happy, safe, and blessed Thanksgiving.
Well said, T. Me personally, I just want to thank everyone again for listening. I don't really have much to say. I kind of said a lot earlier and it pertains to what I'm thankful for. I'm very thankful again for everyone out there who takes the time to listen to all of us here within the TMV network. And absolutely, guys, enjoy the holidays, enjoy the Thanksgiving. Personally, for me, Thanksgiving is like my favorite holiday because it's friends, family, football. The more family and football over anything, that's definitely what's most important. And for Train, for T, and for your very own K-Star, thank you for listening. We'll see you next Tuesday. Enjoy the games, everybody. Have a good holiday.